Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Last two times we met together on Wednesdays, the Holy Spirit was pleased to deal first with the lineage of Japheth. And then last week we looked at the lineage of Ham, through whom Nimrod preeminently came and built the city of Babylon. Now, tonight, I'd like for us to look at the lineage of Shem. Now, this is one of those passages of Scripture where there's a lot of names. These are the kind that you can't hardly pronounce them. And it's very easy, because of the weakness of our flesh, to just skim over it. But the Spirit of God put this in here. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's necessary. So I pray that the Lord might be pleased to bless this passage to our hearts. Shem was the son, according to Luke 3:36, just in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 3:36, Shem is mentioned in there in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight I want us to look, as we did last week, at some out of chapter 10, some out of chapter 11, because these two chapters kind of overlap. And make sure you got your Bible in front of them, and we'll look at these scriptures together. Now, the scripture, I'm going to start in chapter 10, and I'm going to begin in verse 21. But I'm going to be going over. I'll show you. We'll get over into chapter 11, and I'm going to just try to take it easy, not labor it, not try to be long or anything, but I want to try to make it where we can understand. In chapter 10 of Genesis, verse 21, the scripture says, "Now unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born." Now, Eber, we'll see in a minute, Eber. Now, he was Shem's great-grandson, Eber. He was a man revealed to be an example of God's grace in covenant mercy. This was a man that knew God, loved the Lord. God's got a people that He's everlastingly loved and chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, a people that God has been pleased to be merciful and compassionate to. And these people that He's everlastingly loved are going to be born into this world. And so we're going to consider this line. But this man, Eber, we're going to find is a man that's prominent in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus. It was through the line of Eber, from Eber, we find how Abraham was born. And we're going to see in a moment that Abraham was a man that God would greatly bless, bringing forth through natural generation the birth of many nations and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So Moses was moved. Moses penned these books, first five books of our Bible. He was moved by the Spirit of God to give Shem. Now that's the son of Noah, Shem. He was pleased to give Shem a very honorable title. He called him in verse 21, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber. Now let me tell you the significance of Eber's name. It's a word, it's a name from which we get Hebrew. Hebrew. So Eber is that one set forth with that honorable title. That's what he gave Shem, the father of the children of Eber, Shem. And so here's the Spirit of God moving and going to show us how this race, the Hebrews, chosen of God, through which the Lord would send the law, the prophets, and the Messiah himself. Verse 22, verse 10, chapter 10. And the children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. Now, five boys. Shem, the son of Noah, had five boys. Now, as we consider the lineage of Shem, I want us to notice something. Chapter 10, we're going to, right where I just read verse 22, if you look down through there, here's a bunch of names that's coming. That's all these kids that came down through this generation. In chapter 10 of the lineage of Shem, it lists all the kids that were born, all of them. In chapter 11, he's still going to be talking about the lineage of Shem, but in chapter 11, it just names the ones that were in the exact bloodline. There was a bunch of them born. Shem had five kids, but there was only one that was in the bloodline of Christ. We'll see him over here in chapter 11 in just a minute. So I just wanted you to see chapter verse 22 named all of them. Yeah. But in chapter 11, we're going to see just the bloodline. So in 23 now, all right, now you notice in 22, the children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. And verse 23 says, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. Now, from one of his sons, Aram, was born a man named Uz. Now, that man is the man that settled a land we know as Uz. A land found southeast of Palestine. I found a tract of land in the Arabian Desert. And it was a place from where a well-known man was mentioned, was born, was found. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So of all of Aram's other sons, there was Hul, Gether, Mash. That was in verse 23. But nothing of note was found of all those others, except I found where they lived in the land of Armenia, Arabia, and Mesopotamia, which is where Uz was found. Then in verse 24, it says, and Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. Now this son, Arphaxad, there's a special notice given. He was revealed to be the father of Selah. And Selah, his son, had a son. His name was Eber, the one we just started considering back in that first verse of Scripture that we looked at. And the one that we've considered is Eber. He's in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just look over in chapter 11 and look in verses 12 to 15 concerning this man. Now, in Genesis 11, now this is where just the bloodline, as I said, chapter 10 gives all the names. You know, there was this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. But this one right here, he's mentioned over here in chapter 11. He's in the bloodline. So look over here in chapter 11, verses 12 to 15, what it says about Eber. And Arphaxad lived 5 and 30 years and begat Selah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, here we see the certainty of the truth of the blessing of God. His blessing His mercy, His compassion is always distinguishing. It's always particular. It's always according to His will. What was it about these boys over here? What was it about Eber that was any different than, say, Hud or Mash? What was it? What was the difference? Nothing but the grace of God. God chose this one and left this one to Himself. Verse 25, here and back chapter 10. And it says, "And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg." In the margin there, his name means division. That's what his name means. Peleg. "For in his days was the earth divided." Now that when at division right there, all the commentaries, which I can see this. It was during that time that we looked at last time. When Nimrod was there and God came down and divided and confounded all the languages and all of them split up. This is where this boy, right here, Peleg. That's what his name meant. It meant division. "For in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan." Now, unto Eber, the blessed of the Lord, was born two sons. Peleg, his name means division. In these days the earth was divided, which was that time we looked at. And Peleg was found to be in the bloodline of Christ. Now look back over at chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. "And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters." Now did you notice something? Joktan wasn't mentioned over there in chapter 11. Why? He wasn't in the bloodline. Spirit of God is showing this is the line of the Messiah. And so Peleg, the one to be found in the bloodline, is mentioned over there. But while his brother Joktan was known to be the father of the Arabians. Joktan's name means he will be little. That's what Joktan means. He will be little. A name that comes from a root word that means to diminish. Of no account. Be not worthy. Why? Because the Lord left him to himself. "He doeth as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no man has any right to question him." When we stop for just a minute, now right now realize something. If there's any of us here that knows him in saving grace, do we not realize it is by the grace of God that we know him? That if the Lord was pleased to leave us to ourselves, where would we be? He would be just to leave us to ourselves, but look at the mercy of God. "I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll compassion." So it's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth. God shows mercy. But look now back in chapter 10. Verse 26 to 30. "And Joktan begat Almodad, and Steleph, and Hazarmaveth, and Jera, and Hadoram, and Uzal, and Dikla, Obal, and Abiael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, Jobah." All these were the sons of Joktan. "And their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest into Sefer, a mount of the east." Now, there's no doubt that that lineage has good and proper purpose according to the will of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." The Lord's will was certainly bound up some way in the lineage of Joktan. But everything we know about those men right there is right there. Rest of it, the Lord was silent. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Let me ask you something. The purpose of that person that was driving that car that just went by, what is his purpose in this life? If the Lord never brings him or draws whoever was driving that car under the sound of the gospel, what's the purpose of him? God's got a purpose. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. He works all things after the purpose of his own will. How do we know what the purpose of the Lord was? How do we know what the purpose of these? But the Spirit of God was pleased to not say anything. He was silent on that. But the Lord was pleased to reveal something about Eber's other son, Peleg. That lineage that we find now back in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 18. It said in Genesis 18, "And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Eu. Now, the name Eu. Now, here's a man now. Another one. Reu. Reu is in the line of Christ. There's a reason for this man to be here. God's purpose. And Reu's name means friend or friendship. And oh, what a blessing. Now here's a man in the line of Christ, in the bloodline of Christ. And his name means friend or friendship. And what a blessing to consider him who is the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Reu's name meant. A friend is coming. There's a friend. A friend of sinners, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, a friend in whom is life itself, for he is life. A friend is coming. And think of the blessing of being, by the grace of God, his friend. The Lord said in John 15, 14, he said, "You're my friend if you do whatsoever I command you." And what is the command of the Lord? What is the command of God for us toward Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So here was this man back in, you know, this fellow had two sons, you know. One of them was blessed of God. The other one was left to himself. So Reu's name is it means friend or friendship, but it comes from another word. That is a root word that means to pasture. I bet you anybody in this congregation could just about tell me what I'm about to say here. To pasture. What is it? Can we not see the foreshadowing of the great shepherd himself? Shepherd of the sheep. He leadeth me beside, the clean waters, green pastures. I lay down in the rest of our precious Savior. We see the foreshadowing. There's a shepherd coming. One in whom we find our quiet pasture. It's the one that the Father said, "I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my shepherd David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." So now we see This lineage, this bloodline. Then look at continuing in chapter 11 now, verses 19 to 21. And Peleg, after he begat Reu, Peleg, Reu's daddy, lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, Reu, that's the one that, you know, it means friend. It comes from a root word, means to pasture. Reu, he had a son, and his son's name was Serug. And his name means a vine that shoots, a branch, strength and firmness. Now, from that name right there, from Serug's name, look at the prophecy. All these names are prophesying something. A friend is coming. A shepherd. shepherd's coming. His sea rug's name means vine, a shoot, a branch, strength, and firmness. Now, first of all, do we not see him who is the root out of dry ground? Now, this is what sea rug's name. He's a root out of dry ground. This friend that's coming. This shepherd that's coming. He's going to, Scripture says in Isaiah 53:2, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Now here's the way the Messiah is going to appear. Appear to men. Just a tender, exposed plant. Just a little old dry stick stuck out there in the ground. Just a root, dry root, out of dry ground. One that was said to be growing up before Jehovah. One that came from a birth that progressed into a young man that seemed to be nothing more than just a dry root. That's the way it is. Nothing magnificent, nothing attractive. But of him, Jehovah declared, in those days, and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Just Jeremiah 33:15. So reuse son, Serug, his name meant vine, shoot, just a stick, branch. But his name also meant strength and firmness. These were all in the name, what his name meant. Strength and firmness. So here, this one, it looks like to the world, is just a dry stick. No appearance, nothing appealed to us. You know, here was one that we realized that was the one that was magnificent according to God's word, God's standard. The scripture says of this one that the world saw is just a dry stick. Nobody. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's Isaiah 9:6. And then in verses 22 and 23, and Serug of chapter 11, Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, Nahor, now here's one born to Serug, Serug boy. His name was Nahor. Nahor's name means pant, P-A-N-T, to pant. Now, is that not the attitude of the enlightened sinners, the vessels of God's mercy? Is that not their attitude after the Lord calls them out of darkness? That those who love the Lord and need the Lord, does not the scripture say concerning David when he said concerning his desire for the Lord Jesus Christ, as the hart, the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. There's one coming. He's a friend. He's the shepherd. He's the one that appears to the world to be a stick, just a root out of dry ground. But this is the mighty God. And he's going to be the heart pant of his people. They're going to hunger and thirst after him. And that, now I want you to notice though, Serug, Nahor's dad. He lived 200 years after he had Nahor. He had some other children, and that's all it said. None of them were mentioned. But of this man, Nahor, he was the grandfather of Abraham. And the scriptures declare in 24 and 25 of chapter 11, and Nahor lived 920 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. Now we've come down now. Terah. I'll tell you who Terah was. Terah was Abraham's daddy. All right, now here we're coming now in the bloodline. And it's gonna come right on down to Abraham. We come down to the father of Abraham, Terah. He said to have lived 119 years. He had sons and daughters, but there was one son in particular that God had everlastingly loved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That man was pleased. God was pleased to show him mercy and compassion. His name was Abram. Abram. Verse 26 says, Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, we've come down to Abraham's birth. Abram had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. That was his two brothers' name. Two brothers that the Spirit of God was pleased to mention, that we might understand what actually happened when God dealt with Abram concerning his family. Verse 27 to 32, and I'll begin to wrap this up. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. And the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Issachar, but Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. They went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. In the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now I'm going to try to wrap this up, but I'm going to try to make it simple so we can understand what we just read. Now, I know there was a lot of names. I got that. I know there were some places mentioned, but let's see if we can just make good as we look at this, at how the Lord dealt with this man, Abram. In those verses that we read, there was the account given of the family of Terah, Abram's daddy. And Abram became Abraham. He had two brothers. Brother's name was Nahor and Haran. Three sons from Terah. Now, Haran, one of Abraham's brothers, had a boy. And his name was Lot. So Lot is Abram's nephew. Well, Lot's dad, Abraham's nephew, Lot, his dad, Abraham's brother, Haran, he died before his daddy, their daddy, Terah, died. This Terah, the daddy of these three boys, one of his sons died before his daddy died. And they were all in the city of Ur, their native land. Now Abram, and his surviving brother, Nahor, they took wives. They got married. Now Sarai married Abram. And we find out, I want you to just hold this. This is just, Lord willing, we'll look at this when we get to that. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse 11 and 12. Let me tell you who Sarai was. You remember when Abraham was afraid to tell, they had gone into this country, and he said, tell them you're my sister. Tell them you're my sister. Because if you tell them you're my wife, they're going to kill me. Remember that story? Well, I want you to find out who Sarai was. Genesis chapter 20, verse 11 and 12. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. So let me tell you who Sarai was. She was Abraham's half-sister. They had the same daddy, but they had different mothers. Terah had Sarai by another wife. So she was Terah's daughter by another wife. He said, she really is my sister, half-sister. But just don't tell her that you're my wife because they'll kill me. But now, Milcah, there was another brother, a surviving brother. And his name was Haran. And Haran, his wife was Milcah. Abram's brother had died, and Milcah is the daughter of Haran. That's one that died. And Abraham's brother died. She was married to Nahor. So that this is going to make, let me tell you who Nahor's wife is. It's his niece. And somebody said, well, it looks like that's just a little bit too much intermingling. Well, you have to understand, back then, they were all still from one family. They all came from Noah, you know. And there wasn't the intermingling that we think of today. It was just, this is the way they are. They were all related some way. So here we find how these marriages took place. And Sarah, she was without child, and Terah, Abram's dad, took Abram, his son, and Lot, Abram's nephew, and the wives, and the scripture says in verse 31, now they're going to Canaan. That's what it says, verse 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, this is what it's saying. They're all from Ur. This is their hometown. They all live in Ur of the Chaldees. And they're going to Canaan. But before they get to Canaan, they come to a city called Haran. And that's where Terah, Abraham's daddy, he dies. But in closing, I want us to notice something that was the indescribable mercy of God. Something that we need to consider. Before Terah, Abraham's daddy, before he took his city, his family, and left that city of Ur in their native country, before they came to Haran, they left Ur of the Chaldees. They all left. Before they ever left, God had already spoken to Abraham and told Abraham, I want you to leave your family, leave your father, leave. I want you to leave. Now, I'm going to show you. We would have never known this if it wouldn't have been recorded by the Spirit of God through a man named Stephen. Hold your place. I'm wrapping this up. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Verses 1 to 3. Here was all of this, you know. Terah had these three boys. One of them died. And Abraham married his half-sister. And Haran, the other one, married his niece. And they were God had spoken to Abraham before. Terah's leaving. They left. They all left together. But God had already spoken to Abraham. Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Stephen is preaching the very message that's going to get him killed. At the end of this message right here, this is where he starts, right here. And they're going to stone him at the end of this message. But here's how it started. Acts 7, 1 to 3. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, Stephen said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt. You see where it says Charan? That's Haran. That's the same place. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. You know what's in Mesopotamia? Mesopotamia? Ur. He was in Ur before they ever left, before they ever got to Haran, before they ever got to that town. Before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Before they left Ur of the Chaldees, before Terah, his daddy said, We're going to Canaan. God had already spoken to Abraham. They left and they went to Haran, and by all calculations, Abraham stayed in Haran 5 years until his daddy died, showing us first that Abraham's faith wasn't perfect faith. You know, we believe God, but Lord, help our unbelief. God had already spoken to Abraham. He had already told Abraham, you leave your daddy, and he didn't. Now, he's going to go through some trials and tribulations, you know, but Stephen, the Spirit of God through Stephen, said God had already spoken to Abraham before his daddy ever left. So his daddy left. They went to Haran and lived there 5 years, and his daddy died. Abraham's faith was true faith, but it wasn't perfect faith. And we don't have perfect faith either. Abraham believed God. That's what the Scripture says. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Oh, the encouragement of this. Did Abraham do exactly as the Lord told him to do? No. No. He went to Haran and his daddy died. Somebody said, well, his daddy died because... You don't know that. His daddy died. You know, we start jumping to conclusions and decide whether we know the mind of God. But the truth of the matter is, Abraham was told of God to go. Now from that truth, we're beholding not only that even a believer who has faith, true faith, he still struggles. He struggles. It's not perfect faith. But I tell you what is perfect. The grace and mercy of God that didn't cast him off. God had cast off others for less than what he did. God kept him and maintained him. The Lord is merciful. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Whom I will, I'll harden. Grace in the midst of our failings. Grace that never wavers, though we do. What encouragement it is to creatures like us. And may the Lord be pleased to show us and give us encouragement. We want to be faithful. But when we fail, he never does. When we waver, he never does. When we falter, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What encouragement to see the Lord has brought him all the way down. Now, Lord willing, we'll start next time. We'll start on with Abraham. Go on with Abraham. But look how God, in his distinguishing grace, chose this one, passed this one by. The lineage just comes right down to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.